for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Thursday morning, December the 28th, 1995. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
On renewing the mind. Of course, you've heard some renewing the mind before. But, you know, we learn by repetition. You didn't go to school one day and the teacher said, okay, 2 and 2 is 4. You don't need to come back to school anymore. No, you didn't do that. You had to keep going. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I've already sensed your presence, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord. And again, Father, by faith, I'm just going to say I get aside and I just yield to you, Holy Spirit, that you would bring forth the word as you promised to do. And let the Spirit and the word bear witness together. And Lord, let your word fall on good ground this morning in every one of us. Lord, that we might bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. But Lord, give us such a hunger that we won't be satisfied with anything less than the 100-fold. And I give you the praise and the glory for it, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Renewing your mind will transform you. This is commanded, Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. Putting on the new man will come about as you are renewed in the spirit of your mind and attitude, Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. You remember, I wrote on the blackboard, do not allow yourself to become upset by people or things. They are powerless. Your reaction is their only power. And that's all the devil wants us to do in order to take advantage of us and gain access and control over us is to react in an unbecoming, unbiblical, ungodly way to a situation or circumstance that comes about. But if we can learn to just do what Jesus did, he said, what I've done, you will do. Isn't that correct? Am I right in stating that? Well, he stood before the Sanhedrin court, and he was accused and maligned and talked about and said all kind of things, and he didn't open his mouth. He didn't have to, did he? Because he knew who he was. Well, God wants to bring us to a place of knowing who we are in Christ. And the Word of God says, he that's joined to the Lord. Are we joined to the Lord this morning? My sakes, I didn't hear very much. Are we joined to the Lord this morning? Oh, that's better. All right, if you're joined to the Lord, that means you're one with him. God just wants to rise up strong and big inside of you. And he wants you so transformed that you can stand, you know, just in a situation, as I read about dying to self in that little tract, you can stand and see the salvation of God. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to do anything except let go and let God. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Most of the time, we can't seem to get it in this thing. Well, God, you know he's for me sometime when I go to church. But when I get out there in the world situation, I don't know if he's for me or not. Because I don't feel so much like he is. Who said you had to feel it? Feeling and faith are in opposition against each other. Faith says, I have it. Faith says, it's mine. Whether you feel like it or not makes no difference. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. So simply by faith, I told you the story of standing in this house and this big young, strapping young man standing in front of me, and the demons rose up in him and he stuck his fist under my chin and he said, I'm going to tear your head off. Well, I could have been fearful or faithful. I chose to be faithful. I just simply chose to believe the word of God, and I looked at him and I said, you put another ounce of pressure against my face and that angel standing right there that's my protector will tear your arm off and slap you side of the head, shut up and sit down. And he did. because the angel put him down in the chair. We must come to a place of knowing who we are in Christ. God said, and God said, let us make man in our image. But who is God? He's the awesome, all-powerful, all-powerful, all power and authority is His. Well, if you're joined to Him, that means that you are all-powerful. But you got to get this thing out of the way. It's too bad that we couldn't unzip it and throw it in a washing machine and let it wash for a day or two. Might get some of the crud out, amen? Well, we're endeavoring to do that because we're going to be washed by the water of the Word more and more and more and more. And we that would be serious for God, God said He would withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And as long as we're walking toward Him and saying, okay, God, whatever, I'm coming toward You. I refuse to turn any other way. And God says, good, I'll reward you diligently. Hallelujah. And as the little boy said, when he was sucking on that sucker, it gets gooder and gooder. Boy, it does. Our renewed attitude and controlling the flesh or the senses will come about by renewing the mind. You need to renew your mind to where you'll stop blaming your flesh for whatever happens, that you'll listen and you'll write down on the margin of your Bible when it says flesh, just write over there, senses. Your flesh don't do anything until it gets a signal from up here. And one or more of the senses have to come into play. You smell something bad, you're not going to do anything until you smell, and then the reaction is that you're going to, oh boy, that stinks. I saw a little girl one time, about 3 years old, she got in a car, I was standing on the outside, and I don't remember exactly how the story goes, but I saw her push the cigarette lighter in. All of a sudden, that thing popped out, and she pulled it out there, and it's got a pretty red look on it. She didn't know any better, she stuck her finger on it. And it burned the circles right on her finger, just like that. Well, what was her reaction? Threw that thing down, started screaming. But I guarantee you one thing, she never put her finger on another cigarette lighter. Sometimes we have to go through the fire before we can learn to stay out of it. But wouldn't it be better to just learn how to stay out of the fire to start with? Well, we can do that by being obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Whatever problems that we have had during our lifetime have been brought on by either one of two reasons and no other. It's either been ignorance of what the law of God is, the Word of God, or we have rejected it, one or the other. Let's don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let's make ourselves come to that place of knowing who our enemy is. And the more you know who your enemy is, the easier it is to defeat him, to keep him underfoot where he belongs. Amen. Know who your friend is. Above all else, your friend is Jesus. He said He'd never leave you or forsake you. So it don't make a difference where you go, what kind of a situation you find yourself in. It doesn't make any difference. God is there with you. Many times we get in God's way by trying to do things our way. And God doesn't need any help. It's just that sometimes He works a little slower than we want Him to. But the Word of God says that God's time and our time is different. What's 1,000 years to God? The blink of an eye. What's a day to us? Eternity. Oh, but God, you're taking too long to answer this prayer. God says, why don't you believe my word? What do you mean? Well, the word says when you pray, believe that you receive those things you pray for and you'll have them. It doesn't say when you see it happen. It says when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharp. Hebrews 4, 12, and 13. It will cut. And either the Word of God will be utilized to be a blessing unto you and keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word of God. One or the other. Be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. If you don't do what you know to do, then you are a deceived person. And you choose to deceive yourself. You choose. When you choose to do that, then you open yourself up for spirits to take over and move in. We can't stop the devils from flying around and buzzing around over our head. But we can sure stop them from building a nest, laying some eggs and hatching some little ones. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. Get yourself the Bible, at least the New Testament on tape, and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. Hear it again and again. We learn by repetition. Jesus said that when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will lead you into all truth, and He will take of mine and show it to you. When Jesus said mine, that's Himself. That's the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that right? And Jesus said, what I've done you will do. Isn't that right? Well, the Word was made flesh in Jesus. He said, what I've done you will do. So God wants you, the Word, to be made flesh in your flesh. So that you become a living epistle, read of all men. Hallelujah. The more the Word of God that you get in you, and the more you act on the Word of God, and it becomes a part of you, and you become a part of it, then your light's going to so shine, and others will see the good works of God in you, and thereby they will glorify the Father. A little missionary in Africa, very, very student of the Word, was in this town, and the witch doctors got together and had a powwow, and they didn't like him. Let's go kill him. We'll get rid of him in a hurry. So they march out and start up the street, and they round the corner, and here comes this ball of light just bouncing down the road toward them. It looked like to them, bright, bright light. I mean, it was so bright, the next thing all the witch doctors just took off and ran. When that light passed, it was just that little missionary walking down the street. But the witch doctors saw the demons in them, saw that brightness of the Word of God. Hallelujah. You become a danger to the kingdom of darkness the minute you start turning toward God. And the more of the Word of God that you get inside of you and act upon it, the more dangerous you become to Satan's kingdom. When you accept the Lord as Savior, you become like one of the little bitty two-inch firecrackers. Little pop. But as you continue to feast on the Word of God, that thing grows until the next thing you know, you're like a stick of dynamite. And then as you continue to feast on the Word of God, you become like an atomic bomb as far as the devil's kingdom is concerned. Boy, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's there and you're liable to walk out somewhere, and God's liable to light the fuse, and there's liable to be an explosion, and the forces of hell are thrown everywhere. Isn't it about time we blew up the devil's kingdom? There's enough power right now, latent power, right here in this room to change, and I'll just make it easy, the whole state of Arkansas. I mean to totally transform it, not turn it upside down. It's upside down now. It needs turning right side up. God help us to have some boldness in the days to come, to speak boldly the name of Jesus. Glory to God. To be spiritually minded is to be word-minded. To be spiritually minded is to be word-minded. Now we're going to pick up for this morning. I want you to turn to Romans 8:29, and let's see what it talks about here. To be conformed to His image. Do you know you're being conformed to the image of Jesus? No two people in here look alike. I don't see any twins. And yet, when the devil looks at us, he's seeing Jesus. He's seeing Jesus to the amount of the Word of God that we have living and abiding in us, and we are obeying it. And some of us, he just looks and says, oh, that's just that little old kid there. No trouble there, no bother there. Bless God, we want to get to that place where when He looks at us, He'll say, uh-oh, that's that same thing that defeated us 2,000 years ago. Let's get out of here. There ain't nothing left for us but defeat. Let's go. Romans 8:29. Y'all done got ahead of me. I'll get there. I'm a-getting there. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Is that not right? And Jesus said, what I've done, you will do. Isn't that right, Sister Peggy? What I've done, you will do. So if he was the firstborn among many brethren, then you and I should be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, we ought to be used of God to duplicate, to replicate others. We ought to come to that place where we can say with all ease, follow me as I follow Jesus. You want the better things of life? Then follow me and imitate me. He also did predestinate to be conformed. John 17:22, don't turn. Listen now, I'm going to go through some scriptures real quick and you won't keep up with me. John 17:22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. How about that? 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being changed. Well, I don't feel like I'm being changed. Who said you had to feel like it? He that's begun a good work in you is going to finish that work. So stop, let's stop dragging our heels and let him do it. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, glory to God. Good news, folks. You're being changed into the likeness of Jesus. Not that old outward fleshly being. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Settle it in your minds. This old thing here, it'll go back to the dust. But the real you, the person that I can't see, I look at you, I don't see you. I only see the house you live in. You are a spirit being. That's the real you. That's the immortal you. You're either going to have eternal life with God or you're going to have eternal damnation in the lake of fire. And I believe that there's not one person here that's going to have that kind of an ending. And I believe, and I know that you'll stand in faith with me, that whoever listened to these tapes, that they're not going to choose to go that way either. That every last person that ever hears these messages, they will turn to God. Hallelujah. I believe it. Glory. To be conformed to his image. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we're being changed. Glory. We're to be imitators of God. If turn with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Walk in love. Love conquers all. Love never fails. Love is victory. Lord, give me a little acrostic for that word love. Living on victory eternally. I'll live on something like that. Won't you? I don't like defeat. I walked in defeat too many years of my life. I was under the devil's feet. Now I got him under my feet. He tries to squirm out every now and then, but I just kind of raise my foot up high and stomp it back down again. Glory. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. It would do us well to just meditate and study Isaiah 53, run every reference we can. until it becomes such a part of us that we would come to that place of knowing, without a shadow of a doubt, all that Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. This present evil world. That's simply, you know, the only thing wrong with this world, really, is people. Just people. Human beings with the ability to reason have just about messed the whole thing up. Human beings, because they have reasoning ability, are prime targets for the powers of darkness to manipulate the mind to do things that would destroy others and themselves. And yet we human beings think we're so smart. Have you ever done anything and 30 minutes later say, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. Don't let me see any hands. You ever said anything? Oh, I wish I hadn't have said that. I taught a Bible study in a prison in Florida for 4 years every Monday night. And how many times have I heard men say, I sure wish I hadn't have done that. I really don't know why I did it. I just, you know, something come over me. And every chance I'd get, I'd say, yeah, the devil took control of your mind. But you had to let him do it. You did it out of ignorance, or you either did it out of rejection, one or the other. And you know, about 99% of the time, they did it because of ignorance of Satan's devices. We have the choice. We can either choose to let the devil have ground, or we can choose to give the ground to God. The difference between God and the devil is the devil will take. And God says, I'm waiting. When you give, I'll receive. Praise the Lord. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Oh, but now wait a minute, Brother George. Jesus did it all, so I just want all the glory bumps and if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to do what he did. We're going to be crucified. Or you won't be physically nailed to a cross, but you will be crucified. Family will turn against you if they haven't already. Friends will say, are you fanatic? Well, if you know what I know, you'll just smile at them and say, yep, that's right. I've got a fan of the Holy Ghost in the attic up here and it's blowing out all the junk. Yeah, I'm a fanatic. Yep. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is the faith of the Son of God enough to put us over? Did God ever start anything that he didn't finish? I guarantee you one thing, you keep your eyes on him and he'll finish the work that he started in you. Oh, but Brother George, it hurts. Well, so what? We die hard. We die hard. Well, you don't know what she said about me. Well, you don't know how he treats me. Them and that. Them and that causes all of your problems. But dead people don't have no them and that's. We don't need to justify ourselves. We don't need to allow our feelings to control us. That's part of dying. That's part of being crucified. Next time somebody comes up and says some slanderous thing to you, or next time you're out there in the car and you're driving and somebody darts in front of you, somebody, you know, whatever, just say, well, praise the Lord, bless them, Lord. Try it. It'll make you feel good. Instead of feeling bad, it'll make you feel good. You can't outgive God. He'll always give back to you what you give away. That's the law of sowing and reaping. Hebrews 7:27 says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. We desperately need to learn how to take God at his word. God's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, and will he not do it? That's the truth, right? Hath he not said it, will he not do it? Well then, if Jesus said, when you pray, forgive if you have aught against anybody, including yourself. Don't say, well, I just can't forgive myself. Because the minute you do, you set yourself up as an idol and you worship you more than you do God. You exalt yourself above God because God has forgiven you in Christ. So you don't have any alternative but to forgive yourself. Once you realize that you've just been a slave to the devil in whatever it has been, and that spirit of unforgiveness is residing in there, and you say, I will to forgive myself and anybody and everybody else, you resist that thing and you draw nigh to God by saying, God, I forgive and I thank you, Lord God, for forgiving me. And what's going to happen? It has to go. Now, when you pray, believe that you receive those things you pray for and you shall have them. That's the word. That's God talking. Jesus is God. God is talking. So that tells me something. I don't have to keep running back to God every day and praying the same prayer over and over and over and over again. And I found the more I let God talk to me from this word, and the more that I will sit at His feet and say, Lord, teach and train and instruct me in the way that I should go, then the less I have to talk to Him about. Just take Him at His word. He said, I want to bless you exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Okay, God, I receive it. Thank you. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I know that I am. If he said that if my ways please him, that he'd make even my enemies to be at peace with me, then that's the way it's going to be. I'm going to make sure that my ways please the Lord. Then my enemies will be at peace with me. Just like that young man again. He could not harm me that night. Couldn't do it. Didn't make any difference whether he wanted to or not. Because my ways were pleasing to the Lord. Boy, I can share a whole lot more testimonies in situations just like that. God said that he would withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Anything good being withheld from you, go look in a mirror and ask yourself, where am I not walking upright? Get honest with God and he'll get honest with you. Not that he's ever been dishonest. He just wants you to hear him. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Purge your conscience from dead works. We can't unzip this thing and throw it in the natural washing machine, but by the grace and the power of God, we can sure put it in the Holy Ghost washing machine called the Word of God, and we can be washed by the water of the Word. Hebrews 9:26 says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By the sacrifice of himself. Then he said, what I've done, you will do. Another scripture, I don't remember exactly where it's at, but it says that we must fill up the sufferings of Christ in our mortal bodies. Sufferings of Christ. Well, we just need to go back there and read the Gospels and see what he went through and then get prepared. We're still awfully, awfully blessed in this country, folks. We have no concept of what's going on in some parts of the world. I don't know if they're still doing it, but believers in China at one time were being taken out. You confess that Jesus is Lord of your life. You wouldn't renounce it. A believer was taken out in a hole dug, and he was stuck down in that hole with just his head out. And then flesh-eating ants were told over there so that they could begin to eat his face and ears and eyes, and just finally, what a horrible death that must have been. I've had just two or three ants bite me. That don't feel good at all. But when they're trained just to get over you and start with and just eat their way right in. Ugh. All because of a love for Jesus. How deep is our love today? Lord, help me to love you more. We are to continue in His words. If we do, if we continue in the words of God, we shall be disciples indeed. What is a disciple? My definition of a disciple is one who desires the undesirable in order to obtain the desired results. One who desires the undesirable in order to obtain the desired results. This old outward man don't like to be rejected. Every one of us loves to be accepted. Wouldn't you say amen? So in order for us to be pleasing to the Lord, we simply must crucify the old man that just loves acceptance in every way and die to self and just let God rule and reign within us. Be God's people and God's spokesman to say what He once said, irregardless of whether it's liked or disliked, whether it's accepted or rejected, makes no difference. We just want to please the Lord. Hallelujah. We shall be disciples indeed and shall know the truth. And shall know the truth. John 8:31 and 32. Praise the Lord. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Someone come up with an acrostic for the word grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. What is the riches of God? Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, they who belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, if you think you're going to have to sin a little bit every day or every once in a while, then you need to change your thinking. Oh, you mean we can be perfect? You better be. God's not looking for, you know, for vessels that just won't become complete. Stop believing the lies the devil comes at you with just because you have a thought. That's not no sin. It's only when you act on it. Carry it out. As I said, I can't stop the devil from flying over my head, but I sure can stop him from building a nest. The only way I can do that is have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and learn how to wield that sword and cut both ways with it. Hallelujah. Romans 6:22 says, but now being made free from sin, and become servants of God, or to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Holiness. That's what we want. Holiness. Not a head full of holes, you know. The way I look at it is bitterness and rejection and envy and strife. Those are all holes. We need to get rid of that stuff and the holes will automatically plug up. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Free from the law of sin and death. James 1:25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man or woman shall be blessed. Blessed. I like the blessings of God. How about you? My, y'all awfully quiet. Well, glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go on. We see that we're to be conformed to His image. We see that we're to be imitators of God. We see that we're to be disciples. Now, why should we do all that? So that the Word will be alive in us. So that the Word will be alive in us. Not a dead letter. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Isn't that right? The letter, that's religion. What's religion? That's man trying to find his way to God through being, you know, if you ask somebody, are you a Christian? Oh, I belong to such and such a church. I didn't ask you that. I said, are you a Christian? Well, yes, my pastor is so-and-so, you know. No, I didn't ask you that. Are you a Christian? Well, yes, well, I've been baptized into such and such. And it's hard, you know, religion is, we're looking for something, well, if I can just hang in there, Brother Jim, if I can just wait when I die, then maybe I'll make it to heaven. Religion is outside in. It's an outside thing, and you're trying to work it in. Christianity is inside out. Christianity is getting truly born again, following what Jesus said. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, there's a lot of people out there that's born again, and they're looking at the kingdom of God somewhere. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, if you're born of the water, washed with the water of the Word, it doesn't mean dunking in the water. That's good, and that's symbolic, death, burial, and resurrection of the old man into a new creation in God. But washed in the water of the Word, born by the Word, and then you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then the Holy Ghost and the Word will bear witness, and you will be translated and transformed and made new, and you'll enter into God's kingdom right now. Now. Not some future day. The kingdom of God, written in the Word of God, is not the things of this world. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's what it consists of. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything will be added unto. Would Jesus tell you to seek something you couldn't find? No. If he said seek the kingdom, then it's available to us. We can find it. So we just need to search and seek and search the Word and say, okay, God, where is it? I'm getting into it. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And what a battle rages when I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, it wasn't but just a short while before the Holy Ghost rose up in me, the Spirit of God rose up in me, and I heard very clearly that, hey, there's an awful lot of stuff in you that I don't like. That's the Spirit of God talking now. And immediately God had already started training me in spiritual warfare. I mean, I didn't choose this kind of stuff. God thrust me into it. Why? Because he saw the deep hunger in my heart for peace, for love, for joy, for acceptance. The only true acceptance is by God. Oh, hallelujah. So, what did I do? God began to put into my hands things that would teach me about deliverance. I won't get into it maybe some other time, how that all come about. But I do. We'll tell you this. One morning I got up and I said, okay, today's the day. I went out and I got in a big old tool shed way down in the back of my yard. And I closed the door, latched it on the inside, threw an old mat down on the floor. And I got down on my face before God and I said, okay, God, it's me and you and the devils. And I ain't leaving here till the devils leave. 3.5 hours later, when I come out of there, the grass looked greener, the air smelled fresher, and I felt 10 pounds lighter, and I've never been the same from that day to this. And when that day started, my precious first wife, who had been true and faithful for 23 years, the demons took control of her, the curses were in her life, and from that day on, she had nothing more to do with me. Darkness left, and light shone, and light and darkness don't mix. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. Hallelujah. She's still in a bad shape. Her name is Elizabeth. I would ask all of you to pray for Elizabeth Austin. She remarried. The guy that she married took her to the cleaners. She sowed wrong and she reaped wrong. Well, glory. How'd I get off on that? Well, anyway, praise the Lord. Now, the Word of God will come and be alive in us. Look at John 15:7. I'm excited in the Lord. When you're walking with the Lord, you never get bored. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to Jesus. I'm just as happy as an old sow pig in a mud waller. Just as contented as an old hound dog with a chicken bone or something. Whew, glory. Now, what would I say? No, John 15:7. Hallelujah. John 15:7. Very quickly. If you abide in me, if, see, the choice is yours. If you abide in me, Jesus is talking, right? Well, Jesus is the Word, right? So if you abide in the Word, and my words, he said, abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I challenge you, when you go back to your prospective towns, I challenge you to go out two by two and go to any devil's den around there. And there's probably a lot of them in any town you go to. Just very surreptitiously, just go walking by there and just stop and lay your hands on that thing, that building, whatever it is, two by two, and say, in Jesus' name, I command you to close. Then leave it up to God. God says you have not because you ask not. I had the surprise of my life one time years ago. There was an awful nightclub situation on a secondary highway there in Jacksonville. And I got up one morning about 3 o'clock to go down further down the state fishing. And I began to pray. And as soon as I got up, and I was really charged up, I'd been praying in the Spirit. By the time I drove by that thing, and I just, all of a sudden, I just said it, I command you in Jesus' name, burn to the ground. A week later, I went by there, and it wasn't nothing but a pile of ashes. We've got to learn how to use the power and the authority that God's given us. God says, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. That's us. Well, if we don't like that devil's kingdom out there that's a strip joint or whatever, then just go up there and lay hands on it and say, close in Jesus' name. I was in Sacramento, California some years ago, and they invited me to a meeting in a warehouse. There was about 250, 300 people there, and this fellow standing up there, way down there at the end of that thing, he was carrying on, and out of his mouth was coming nothing but just negative stuff about all the evil that's going on in the world. Not lifting up Jesus. And I asked the manager, I knew I'd been introduced to him, and I asked if I could talk to him, and I told him, I said, he's not talking about the Lord. That's just glorifying the devil. And he just kind of shrugged it off, and I said, well, okay, and I left. I went out to my car. I laid my Bible on the hood of the car, and I just left my hand on it. I said, now, Lord, I believe your word. And Father, I'm going to speak some words, and I'm going to ask you to carry it out. I said, in Jesus' name, and I called him by name, I said, shut your mouth. Got in my car, drove on. Didn't hear anything about it till 2 months later. Went back through Sacramento and stopped and called somebody in a telephone booth. I didn't ask. I hadn't even thought about it. He said, oh, you remember that night you were out there at that warehouse? I said, yeah. He said, wasn't 2 minutes after you walked out that door, that guy just shut up, put the microphone down, walked out. Your words are powerful. Learn to speak the words of the Word and then watch it come to pass. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. How do we reach these goals? You read and meditate on the Word. Turn it with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua. Right after Deuteronomy. Bunch of Joshuas around here this morning. We're all Joshuas. The Father God is saying to us, like He said to Joshua, starting at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, confident, and of good courage. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Jesus died for everybody on this earth that's alive right now. Let's just leave it at that, okay? He didn't die just for you and I that have accepted him, right? God's no respecter of persons. If he loves you and I, he loves that vile sinner out there. Whoever she or he might be. If that's the case, and it is, then we ought to be strong and of good courage, and we ought to cause those people to inherit the land. God's word is true, and he says, if two of you would agree on earth as to touching anything that you ask of the Father, it shall be done. It shall be done. Oh, you mean if I just go out there and pick somebody and, okay, they got red hair and they're so tall and pray for that person. If you agree and stand on the agreement of God's word and you point that person out to God and say, God, I want that person saved. God said he'd give you the desire of your heart, didn't he, Brother Jim? Says you have not because you ask not. If faith is the victory that overcometh the world, if faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, then faith in action says you have what you ask for. Might take a while because, again, God's time and your time is different, but it will come to pass. You go out there and plant some corn this spring, and you're not going to plant them seed in the ground, cover them up, and then jump back and expect to reach over there and pull the ears of corn off of that stalk right then. No, it's going to be a while before it gradually grows and gradually produces. So it is with God's word. But it will produce. Hallelujah. Joshua 1, we have to see, verse 6, verse 7, only you be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law, the word of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice, which Moses, my servant, commanded you, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That you may prosper. Oh, you mean I'm going to make a bunch of money? That's not what it says. That'll be in it if it's needed. I tell you what, I'm prospering. I'm very, very prosperous today. At 71 years young, I'm very prosperous. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then, after you meditate in it day and night, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. And that's the only place in most Bibles where the word success is used. Extremely important. I don't think there's anybody in here wants to be a failure. If you do, why, then we need to pray for you. Because God don't make failures. He wants all of us to be successful. All of us. My grandson came to stay with me and was in a terrible fix, and I sat him down and talked to him, and I said, you want to be a success or a failure? Well, I want to be a success. I said, if I guarantee you a way to be a success, are you interested? Oh, yes, sir. Number one, just turn your life over to Jesus. Number two, then just do what I tell you to do this summer while you're here with us. So he did, and I told him, I want you to read the book of Proverbs 25 times. He did that while he was with us that summer. Then he got so turned on to the Lord, he didn't want to go back to California and get in that mess that he'd been out there at all. So we made arrangements for him to stay with us in Jacksonville. We started him in school. He'd failed the year before. It was a washout. We put him in school, and the first report card he brought home was all A's and B's. God doesn't make failures. He went on to graduate on the AB honor roll with high honors. Now he's married. I turned my painting contracting business over to him when I got 62, and I just took off for the Lord. And he is very successful in his work. God gave him a good Christian wife and showed me a 2 or 3 months before he ever even started dating her and pointed her out. He said, that's going to be Mike's wife. I said, thank you, Lord. I received that. She's a very beautiful girl, very turned on to the Lord. They have four beautiful children and just doing great. Owns two homes. He's either renting or selling one of them to his mother. We prayed her back from California. Now we've got one more to pray back from, or two more, three more now. My granddaughter and two great-grandchildren out in California, we're going to pray them back. God's good. Said he'd withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. I just say, Lord, please help me to walk uprightly. Hallelujah. One more verse here. Verse 9 says, have not I commanded you? Joshua 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Oh, that's good news. Wherever you go. Glory to God. So how do we reach these goals? We read and meditate on the Word. We act on the Word. We confess the Word. We listen to the Word. We sing the Word. And isn't it beautiful how God is giving people melodies, I guess that's the right word, to go with the Psalms and little verses of Scripture. And if you want to, you can get enough and you can sing it day after day and hardly ever sing the same tune twice, the Word. Make the Word the final authority. The final authority. As I shared with you the other day, this man was sent home to die. He was eat up with cancer. The authority of the medical profession says he'll never make it. He's going to die. His life is over. He might as well prepare. Get your things in order. Well, that's what they said to Smith Wigglesworth, too. Until that boy came over and sat astraddle of him and slapped him in the side and said, devil, get out. And the man was totally healed. Well, the man I'm talking about had an 18-year-old son turned on to the Lord, and he began to fast. And he wound up fasting 30 days for his dad. And after the 30th day, the power of God descended on that house, shook the bed, shook the man, totally recreated everything the cancer had eaten. Made him a new person. Anything too hard for God? No. Nothing. Fellowship with the body of Christ. We cannot go it alone. I mean, if I just cut off my finger, just that much, and it think it's going to live, it won't. It'll die. I need all of me. That means that I need all of you, and you need all the rest of us. Hallelujah. All right, there are areas to work on. Areas to work on. Number one is we need healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. Say it until it becomes a part of you. Read it and reread it. And what about forgiveness? Mark 11:25 says you must forgive others before you can be forgiven. What about victory? Would you rather have victory or defeat? I like the little chorus. No, no defeat. No, no defeat. Jesus is our captain and will never know defeat. I hear the sound of the marching army. I hear the sound of the marching feet. Jesus is our captain and will never know defeat. Not as long as you keep the devil under you, under defeat, you know. Bring your thoughts into obedience. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Hallelujah. And then make sure that love is the motivating factor in your life. 1 Corinthians 13. Research it. Search it out. Prosperity. 3 John 2. I would that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. The soul is the mind, the emotions, the ego, the id, the psyche. In other words, the brain. Let your soul prosper. Let your brain prosper in the Word of God. Feed yourself on the Word of God. Become a glutton for the Word of God. Won't hurt you a bit. You better believe it. Then what about prayer? Ephesians 6:18 and Mark 11:24 again. Prayer. 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. Well, Brother George, I can't pray without... Prayer is communication, isn't it? Well, who? If God's the smartest one, then who should do the most talking? Every time you read the Word of God, you're praying. But you're on the receiving end instead of on the giving end. What would you do if you were, let's say you were a tailor, and I brought to you a piece of cloth, you know, a nice big, and I said, sister, I've been told that you were an extra good tailor, that you can make things. I'd like for you to make me a suit out of this piece of cloth. Okay, Brother George, I'm kind of busy, but come back in 2 weeks, and I'll have it done for you. Well, I show up tomorrow, and I say, could you take time? Would you take, bring that cloth out here now? I want to make sure that you know what I want. I want the seams to run this way, the pattern, and make sure you get, and we get that all straight. And she said, okay, and she's looking around. I see she's busy, and the next day I come back, and pretty soon she's going to say, hey, my time is being wasted. I told you I'd make you a suit. Come back and get it in 2 weeks. Now, if you don't believe I can do it, here, take your cloth, take it somewhere else. Don't bother me. We seem to think that all we got to do is just simply tell God 14,000 times, God, do this, do that, and so on. Well, if I believe the Word of God and I say, okay, God, you said when I pray, believe that I receive those things I pray for and I'll have them. And then I go right back and ask him the same thing again. I'm saying, God, I don't believe what you said in your word. You said you'd do it, but I can't really take your word at it. I've got to tell you again and again and again and again and again. And finally, God, he finally gets my attention and he says, oh, you of little faith, why don't you quit doubting and believe me? Hallelujah. How long would it take? Well, it just wouldn't. It'd finally die. You go out there and you plant yourself a little tree, and you go back in tomorrow and you pull it up and you say, now, let's make sure I get the roots right. Okay, I'm going to plant you here. Well, I don't believe tomorrow I'm going to pull it up again. Pretty soon the thing's going to be dead. Yeah. Amen. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the love of God. Take God at his word. Believe that when he says something, he means what he says. God's looking for a people that will take him at his word, folks. Glory. I've been praying for 28 years for some things. Oh, you mean you've been talking to God all? No. I said, God, I believe your word. The way I've been praying is letting God talk to me. There's certain things I don't even mention to God anymore. They're in his hands. I've cast my cares on him. And if he can't take care of them, then they can't be taken care of. And if he's got those cares, then I don't have them anymore. I don't even have thought of them anymore. Because the Word of God tells me, take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Learn how to walk in victory. And then enjoy your walk with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In closing, my first closing... Brother Glenn's. I want to share a poem with y'all that the Lord gave me some years ago that's been such a blessing. Oh, hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Lord hath commanded you. Fear not the fight. His strength is made perfect when you are but weak. His conquering power is for all who will seek. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So fear not the darkness and dread not the night. The light of the world surely knoweth the way. Keep clasping his hand every moment each day. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Just follow his footsteps by faith, not by sight. His love will protect you against any foe. Why, he's promised his presence wherever you go. Lord, I thank you. I give you the glory and the praise. May your word find good ground in all of us today and in all the other sessions that we've had and will have by every minister that is here that will share. Lord, help us to open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to you, God, that we might leave here not like we came, but more empowered. More determined to do your will, O God. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? Glory to Jesus. Realizing the importance of words, that we are justified by our words or condemned by our words. Would you say this with me? Oh God, thank you for your word. I'm more determined than ever before to make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will myself to be obedient as never before. And in so doing, I will be blessed. I love blessings. So Lord, I thank you. I receive even now in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.